And good morning, everyone. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and I'd like to thank you for joining the Public Health Data Systems Task Force. And this might be our last task force meeting, and I just want to take the opportunity to thank all of our task force members, our co-chairs, and all of you for this quite a bit of work over the past few months. So thank you so much. All of our task force meetings, of course, are open to the public, and your feedback is always welcomed, either in the Zoom chat or during the public comment period that is scheduled later in the agenda. And I'm going to begin roll call of our task force members. So when I call your name, please indicate if you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Jillian Haney.
Present.
Marianne Malik.
Good morning.
Rochelle Bolton.
Good morning.
Hans Bootendijk.
Good morning.
Heather Cook Sinclair. Aaron Holt Coyne.
Good morning.
Charles Cross. Good morning. Charles Cross. Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Joe Gibson. Raj Gadbarti.
Good morning.
Jim Gerges. John Kansky.
Good morning.
Bryant Thomas Karras.
Present.
Stephen Lane.
Hello.
Jennifer Layden. Les Leonard. Hung Lu. Mark Rostica.
Good morning.
Aaron Meary. Alex Smuggy. Stephen Murphy. Eliel Oliveira. Jamie Pina. Abby Sears. Vivian Singletary. Bill Sutherland. Cheryl Turney.
Good morning.
Good morning. We may have some people joining us late, and this was a last-minute scheduled meeting, so some of our task force members couldn't join us. But thank you so much, everyone, and now please join me in welcoming Arian and Jillian for their opening remarks.
Good morning, Jillian. I will be the vocal person just to save you from having to talk too much, but feel free to pipe up, as I know you will. We're landing the plane. We actually have the plane on the runway. We're braking hard. We're hoping that we don't get the plane off the runway and actually get it straight to the destination. We have a pretty good draft. It's got a fair number of edits on it after our last review. This is our last review session prior to the full HITECH. So at this point, we're going to be either we agree on the content or we cut it. And I think we're at a place where we have some pretty good recommendations that will help advance the public health agenda. And it would be desirous, we would be desirous of just making sure that we close out all of the language. So we've been since last week, since last Wednesday, we have been hard at work in editing a bunch of language. So the first part of this, we'll just go through all the language that we did edits in the last few days. And then we got almost all the way through the content last time. I think we stopped at cancer registries, and so we want to go back and make sure that we've addressed all of the topics. Most of the topics with significant meat were already addressed, and so we just want to make sure we get through the edits. So if we can show the document. All right. Thank you, Liz. Okie doke.
Make it a little bit bigger, please.
All right. So let's see. We did some wordsmithing of the introduction. First section just tried to highlight motivate the work that we're doing in terms of, hey, we had a lot of information exchange during the COVID-19 pandemic, and yet a lot of work remains. And so this is now the time to go address it. I'll let people look at the edits to this paragraph. Again, nothing. This is mostly stage setting at this point. Jillian, I'm interested as to why you struck my "we had early detection and awareness of COVID-19 from existing syndromic surveillance feeds" sentence.
Because we really did it.
Surveillance is actually it was astute clinicians and astute patients mostly. Not
got it. I'm sort of thinking of Farzad looking at the New York stream.
The syndromic surveillance definitely became very useful as the pandemic went on, and we were able to use it much more for situational awareness, but it really did not provide us with any early warning.
Gotcha. Okay. Fair point. I'm anchored on Farzad looking at the New York feed and seeing ILI signal in early March before anybody knew that that COVID was hitting. But yes, so absolutely fair. Okay, so we'll move on. Okay, so basically just motivating, hey, good time to move. Generally edits for clarification in the next paragraph. Let's keep moving. Keep moving. Okay. So we have holistically moved from certification of public health data systems to certification of public health technology. The justification for this is that by and large, we are not intending to have the system certified. We are intending to have modular interoperability components or technologies certified. And so this is really in keeping with our general call for modular certification, allowing public health authorities to assemble technology to create the systems in order to address their programmatic needs and policies. So you'll see some wholesale revisions of public health data system certification to public health technology certification. Again, nothing's changed in terms of any of the wrapper. We just felt that term was provided better clarity for what it was that we were certifying. So here you'll see certification criteria for technologies used. This should be established certification criteria rather than a certification criteria. Thank you. Okay.
Stephen, I saw you.
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, I hesitated a little bit. Just the way you said that, Arian. I mean, we are talking about certifying the systems that are used within public health, right? So call them systems, call them technologies. I guess that doesn't matter. Are we, however, still envisioning that there will, you know, similar to there are with EHR, there will be certification criteria, and there will be systems that become certified against those criteria, and we'll be able to say that, you know, California has certified health IT supporting their public health system.
That's actually not the way it works, Stephen. So by and large, a provider attests to using certified technology by in their attestation naming the technologies that were certified for the criteria. In some cases, if they're using all-in-one technology, they name one system. In other cases, they may name multiple systems that add together to address the certification criteria. So Hans, you might have some enlightenment here, but I would imagine this program would work similarly.
But I'm then hearing the same between you, Arian, and Stephen, in that as a result, a public health agency organization can state that they are using or they're not using certified software. So their software, whether they self-developed or buy from
HIV. That's right. Vendor. Certified technology. That's right. They're using certified technology that addresses the criteria that are needed in the programmatics that they're attesting to. Yep.
And the fact that it's modular means I'm using certified technology for ECR. I'm using certified technology for ELR, et cetera.
That's right. For the interoperability functions. So the distinction, just to be super clear, the distinction that we're making here is that we are not certifying the end-to-end systems that are used by public health. And in particular, if we think about case tracking or case reporting or contact tracing, we are not certifying the functional behavior of those functions as used by public health authorities. We are certifying that the technology that they use has the capability of electronic case reporting.
And it's probably important, we may have to put something in the document, that it's indeed modular enough, granular enough. We know from firsthand experience, early days particularly, and possibly coming back up again with more complex workflows, that if it's not modular enough, that would create problems for providers and system developers alike, because they are required to do more than they do. So I think the modular part is critical to make sure that it fits.
Hans, I think we addressed that. So if we look farther down, you know, we're very clear about in our recommendation on modularity, we're very clear about the needs of that the intent is public health can assemble technologies, that address this. And then
I'm comfortable with it. I just want to when Steve looks at it, that it's indeed expressed as modular enough, otherwise it won't work. And we have seen that in the past, and we're hoping to avoid it in the future.
Okay. Okay. So we also did some work. I think Liz is highlighting, we did some work to make sure our charge is in here.
That's what I wanted to bring up. We actually have a specific section in the final transmittal where it actually calls out the specific charge. So I don't know that we actually need this.
Okay, that's fine. There. So let's keep going. So again, just be very clear. So this notion of efficient and effective, again, just re-clarifying, we recommend certifying the programs of public health authorities. Okay, no changes here. Let's keep moving. All right. Public health technology and our definitions. Okay, a couple of changes in definitions. Number one is where we use the provider, we mean the definition provided in 42 U.S. Code section 300JJ. If you dereference, super geeky, but if you dereference U.S. Code section 300JJ, the term provider there is all inclusive, all encompassing. Includes physicians, hospitals, labs, therapists, home health, long-term post-acute. It's a pretty all-encompassing definition. Certified public health technology, certified public health technology. So again, trying to make that clear. Okay, cool. So that is the
changes to the front.
Go ahead.
I believe in those same 42 U.S. Code regulations, public health authorities are capitalized as and referred to as PHA. Lowercase.
Happy to uppercase public health authorities. If we do that, we should do it globally. Anyway, let's not do the wordsmithing right now. All right. Let's keep going.
Background section here was added. Yep. To again provide context.
Perfect. So basically grounding this in terms of the CDC data modernization initiative. And then we're going to put in, you know, an enumeration of all of the hearings that we held just to show that we did our homework. All right. Good. Next one. Okay. Let us go to the edits that we did. So again, just mostly wordsmithing here, public health authorities in support of exchanging data for public health purposes, including those defined in the existing F criteria. So again, all general wordsmithing.
So I want to just draw attention to the comment I made on the right. There was some language that was removed around the optional data elements in the implementation guides that need to be required that we had embedded within specific F criteria as appropriate, and it got removed. And so I would like that to be discussed to add back in.
Yeah, it's there. It's there. It's addressed. It should be addressed unless somebody's actually gone and whacked it. It should be addressed in Liz. I don't know if you can find. More to put it in the correct place. Here we go. Certification processes should include testing against public health defined use cases, establish a minimum threshold for conformance, inclusive of values marked as optional that are relevant and critical to public health mission.
And confirming that is in the general recommendations.
Yep.
Though it might be worth calling it out in the introduction to general recommendations.
I would be in support of that. I think it's a really critical point.
Yep.
I do. I'm for the sake of the document, I'm willing to conform with this, you know, moving it from each of the individual sections where it's relevant to this overarching, but from past experience, the translation from recommendations into actual guidance and measures and testing criteria, those kinds of things often, those details often get lost in the shuffle. So we may want to, you know, have an appendix or have an ability to come back and on a regular basis say, you know, which measures, ELR, syndromic, immunization, do some of those optional criteria, optional data elements need to be implemented in certain jurisdictions. Therefore, the testing needs to allow for that.
John, you've got your hand up.
Arian, you had an artfully worded recommendation about ensuring that these guidelines offer public health authorities the flexibility to use intermediaries, dot, dot, dot. Did that make it into the letter?
Yeah, it's there.
Okay, sorry, just making sure. Sorry, I missed it. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, so let us keep going. Go ahead.
There were some changes that I'm not seeing here anymore that explained the nuance that optional in HL7 language is not the same thing as what we're talking about here is optional. So maybe that's spelled out later in the general recommendation.
Later on, that's relevant and critical.
Yeah, I don't believe I ever saw that language, but again, I agree that the nuance of how different SDOs use the word optional is not the point. I think the point is that there are items named in standards and implementation guidance, some of which are named mandatory, some of which are named optional, but the ones that are optional, we need conformance testing against optionality to ensure that the systems have the ability that when optional elements are named, that data actually transmits correctly, which is the, you know, sort of the general point.
No, the added on to that is that if optional doesn't mean optional to be implemented by the vendor, optional means
that's right.
The submission of the data was optional. And I know it was written in there somewhere at some point.
Again, it's that text that we just noted. It is, we recommend, you know, certifying, having our certification criteria test against fields that are marked as optional, so that the certification test includes the ability to turn on and turn off optional data flows.
Right, but I think that the second piece is also for providers to pay attention to LHD public health authorities looking at directions about reporting data. Brian,
That's again, I just super clear. That's not our mandate is on the certification criteria. So what we can do to affect that is make sure the certification criteria include optional data elements so that EHRs or certified health information technology is capable of transmitting data that is marked as optional in the implementation guides, whether the provider organizations implement the technology appropriately or capture the data are all real world issues, but not the subject of a certification program.
Except that it does tie in to testing the systems in real world scenarios as deployed.
I want to go through hands raised. We got Erin who's got her hand raised.
Yeah, I think if you went back to the comment that Jillian had made, it was a pretty lengthy comment. I believe that language that's being referred to is in that comment, if I remember correctly.
And maybe we're pointing to because I was going to comment there as well. Yeah. Is that on recommendation 10 is where it says not just marked as optional, which can mean a variety of things when you're in standards land, but it is and finished with are relevant and critical to the public health mission.
Mm-hmm.
I think that should be enough indication to SDOs that they may need to make a distinction between optional that is relevant and critical versus optional because it's in the standard and it's not necessary otherwise. So I believe it's sufficient in here, but we need to make sure that the SDOs follow up on that and mark accordingly in the guides.
I would like to change that text right there. Critical as defined by public health. So I don't want to get into a discussion about who's defining what the public health mission is.
Yep. Health authorities and their.
Is public health the only one who's defining criticality here? I mean, there is the whole provider world that is burdened by the challenges of public health exchange. And if there's one thing I've noticed on these calls is that sometimes we have different perspectives on the value of pushing forward.
Well, this is consistent with the text that I'm suggesting is consistent with current language on HIPAA, which basically says public health can define what it needs to achieve its goals.
And
that's fair.
So Stephen, let me just sort of give an overarching view of how we've crafted these requirements. Our goal is to achieve a floor level of interoperability that reduces burden for both parties. Because there is necessarily jurisdictional variation.
No. The charge is not to just make a floor. The charge is to make recommendations that improve our country's ability to have a public health response.
Yes. So yes, absolutely fair. Our goal is to
the floor is not enough.
Our goal is to raise the floor. The goal of a certification program is to raise the floor to create a public health data exchange that is both efficient and effective. Part of that goal, and again, we'll see language specific to this, part of that goal is to make sure that that out of the box, EHR technology can be deployed to address predictable and common variation between jurisdictional variation. And so, Stephen, the intent here would be that we reduce the burden on the provider organizations, as well as reducing the burden on public health authorities by making sure that certification out of the box includes optional data elements that can be configured and deployed. Now, that doesn't mean, just to be super clear, doesn't mean that there will be some jurisdictional variation that's outside of the floor that will create special effort. To some extent that's unavoidable, but our goal is to raise the floor to address the efficient and effective interoperability that improves the public health mission. Let's keep going. Let's go back to.
I think Aaron made a motion to pull Jillian's comment into the text, and I didn't.
Yeah, that's right. I think we've already agreed.
Did it get pasted in though?
We'll
made a note to include her note here so that we can paste it in.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. All right. Let's keep going. So sorry, Jillian, is there something to discuss here? Was this your edit up here? Going up.
Let's see. Where are you?
Not alternative safe. For last sentence, perhaps.
Oh,
this is the one where you said delete.
I tried to. So there was at the last call, there was some words worth thinking about the paragraph above, from the paragraph above. And I tried to edit it out down a little bit to make it clearer, as so perhaps we don't need that addition anymore.
Okay.
But that was my suggestive edits. And I didn't think we need to get as granular as that.
So strike what I've highlighted here. Oops.
As long as people feel that it's covered in the previous paragraph, that it's now addresses those issues that were raised last time. So hearing nothing, I say yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right, so here is the modular certification point. We recommend certification criteria be modular, that is, public health technology used by a public health authority or partner does not need to be certified for use. Unless the, again, we should spell out public health authorities using that particular technology for the purpose for which certification is applicable. It should be noted that public health data systems may have multiple applications and functions, is therefore necessary to certify the functionality, not the system itself. So again, we're certifying the interoperability, not the end-to-end system. Any certification program must provide public health authorities with maximum flexibility in selecting and implementing certified technology. Again, making the point that Hans did about the need that modularity needs to be flexible enough to allow public health authorities to mix and match. These technologies may be owned or managed by the public health authority. There should be a comma here, comma, shared between or among public health authorities or consumed as a service and through intermediate and or through intermediaries such as HIEs, APHL, and others. according to the legal policy and procurement practices, it should be according to and rules governing public health data systems in the relevant jurisdictions. Pathways to use certified technology should include the use of third-party testers, as well as the capabilities of public health authorities to self-certify. Both must use the common set of testing criteria. So again, I think this addresses the comments that have been raised in terms of modularity of certification. Stephen.
2 points. One is I would update the text to say HIEs/HINs, just so that there's not confusion about that being a more restrictive definition. And then I did put a note in earlier back at 51 in the chat, and I think this is the section where this would belong. We keep talking about modular certification, but are we defining in this document what are the boundaries or the list of those modules? Do we assume that those modules match the existing F criteria, or are they yet to be defined?
So do you mean specifically public health systems outside of the F criteria, like that are not listed, like vital statistics, for example?
Well, but I mean, the module one, module two, module three, do those track exactly with the existing F criteria, or or are they going to be different, or are there going to be potentially more than that?
So the intent would be that certification would be to the interoperability criteria in the F criteria, and that again we're presuming that at some point, let's say CDC in procurement requires the public health authority that is procuring a system that CDC is providing funding for to use technology that has been certified for ONC criteria, blah, blah, blah. And that the criteria would be to the interoperability requirements associated with that criteria. So modularity is defined by the criteria.
So I think we should state that explicitly.
Well, we're saying the criteria, we recommend that any certification criteria, public health technologies be modular.
And then that the public health systems will certify to those, so the modules equal the criteria, the modular certification on the public health side.
Any certification program must provide public health authorities with maximum flexibility in selecting and implementing certified technology. And then multiple pathways to use the certified technology.
I still think we're missing this point, and maybe it's just me, that when I say that I certify to a module, that I have a modular certification, that it is for F1, F2, et cetera, that those define the modules.
Yeah, I think you're saying what we intend to say. So if there's a friendly edit, I think we'd be happy to consider it and make that edit.
Let me take a look. Thanks.
Cool. All right, let's go to recommendation two.
Can I, Arian? I think was that Steve that was making the point?
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
Steve. I think that when we get down into the specific F criteria recommendations, there are several of them that we try to become more specific about what we mean by the implementation guide that the modular certification needs to be updated to the latest guide.
Right. And in some cases, our F criteria actually include multiple tests and multiple certification. Our revisions to F criteria may include multiple certifications and multiple tests. And so, again, I think we'd want that to be modular. Okay, let us keep going. Recommendation numero dos. So I think we've split this one into multiple. Okay. Ensure the data used in F criteria reference the standardized code and value sets. We recommend that in order to improve patient matching. So we did paragraph two to be specific to patient matching. Paragraph three is specific to value sets.
And is intended to be broader. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. We provided context for recommendation three. Which is about adopting, modifying the certification program to make sure that we do conformance testing and real world testing for the ability to update value sets. We put in a header that noted that failure to update value sets impeded interoperability and created issues. So we recommend in the first recommendation, certification criteria, the certification program demonstrated ability technologies to include and regularly update relevant standardized value sets without special effort. For computable semantic interoperability, technologies adopt standardized vocabularies and terminologies. And then we reference the need for LOINC and our
Arian could US. Yep. On that last point, ONC just did a presentation here at the AMIA conference, analyzing some survey data from providers and their ability to include standards like LOINC in their messages to public health, and it is worse than we thought.
Yeah.
So I think we might want to reference that report. And if
this is something Liz can help us do, if there's a ready-made reference that's published, happy to do it. Now, last sentence, a panel
that had both the ONC presentation and the HAE STAR findings.
Yeah. We're in crunch time, and so we're going to drop stuff if we don't have clear language for it. Jillian, I think you added the last sentence, and I'm proposing striking it because it's addressed down below. But two issues with the sentence. Number one is, it's out of place here. And number two, it is actually addressed in the lab recommendations. And number two is we don't do recommendations to HHS. We do recommendations to ONC. So anyway, this one was out of place and somewhat problematic in terms of our authority. I totally agree with the point.
Isn't there somewhere else in the text that we did make a recommendation though that?
We do. It's in our ELR section.
Can't we recommend that ONC coordinate with HHS
to we
make
do.
Sure that the other federal partner?
Why don't we jump? Liz, if you can just so we can clarify this one, if we can jump down to the ELR section and make sure it's in there. Okay, cool. Here we go. We recommend that ONC follow relevant guidance provided by the Interoperability Standards Workgroup and approved by the full HITECH regarding laboratory orders and results, particularly those addressing transmission receipt of orderables and results sufficient to trigger reporting criteria, transmission of minimal demographic and contact information, comprehensive use and normalization at the source of key terminologies, including LOINC, SNOMED, UCOM, UDI, and others relevant to public health data flows, adoption of latest LOI and LRI implementation guides. We notice that addressing those concerns solely via certification of the ELR interface, laboratory to public health, does not address the upstream workflows where data necessary to the public health mission originates. And then we are also recommending, we probably should put in, all these implementation guides that we're referencing include by reference LOINC and SNOMED. So the coding systems for all the implementation guidance that we reference, where we're actually making recommendations to certify EHRs for orders, labs for both orders and results, public health data systems for results, all reference LOINC and SNOMED. So, and then the report that we reference is if people haven't read it, goes into great lengths about exactly these points about the need to standardize at source, the tools available to standardize at source, et cetera.
But to make these changes actually happen, there needs to be some kind of lever, and that's not ONC is not going to be able to influence that. It's going to need to be HHS.
That's so correct. So if we look at the lab section.
I thought I just saw the HHS. Stricken.
Hold on. Okay, Liz, if you go down to recommendation, let's try recommendation 6. Let's see if that's the one. There we go.
Would it make sense to lead with that one in this section? Because it is pretty critical.
Yep. So recommendation 6 recommends that ONC adopt a certification program. There is there is the issue of what the incentive structure is. And again, if you read the report in the report and recommendations that we issued, we make specific recommendations about incentives. So maybe we can go to Liz, maybe we can go to recommendation 3, I believe it is. Nope, not recommendation 3, recommendation. Okay, which one is it? Maybe 4? No, 4. Okay, whichever, Liz, okay, there's recommendation 5 right here. So maybe we can say, we recommend unless you follow the relevant guidance, approve of the full, particularly those addressing, and we should add in, let me just add some text here into the chat.
Yeah, I'm still, can you explain to me why you wanted to strike it out above?
Because it was about certification criteria. And so incentives to CLIA labs in the context of certification criteria was misplaced. The second issue is our recommendations are to ONC to work with partner agencies, which is a point I completely agree with.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing, after striking it, I'm not seeing where it goes. And if we only put it in the ELR section, then it is not applying to case reporting and syndromic and all the other areas that we needed to report.
That's right. So case reporting, lab data is going to come via the ELR requirements, or come via the requirements that we're making in ELR, which include certification for labs and include certification for ordering.
But it also applies, to Brian's point, this is Steve Eitner, it also applies to other data for other messages like syndromic surveillance and other messaging that includes SNOMED and low-end codes.
Yep. So I completely agree. I guess my only point is that the way that data comes in coded is via ingestion of either sending of an order or ingestion of a lab that has been appropriately encoded.
No, it doesn't. It comes in other ways too. It comes in through a syndromic surveillance message that does not include a laboratory order or a result as an example. It could very easily come in through a trauma message that does not include a laboratory result information. So that there are lots of places where that data could come in that is not a laboratory order or result.
Right. And so in those cases, that would come in through the coding of the patient for their chief complaint.
It's my understanding, sorry, this is Aaron. It's my understanding that Link and SNOMED and other standardized vocabulary could certainly be used for other observations in the medical record that would be used to contribute towards a case report. So it's beyond lab orders and
that's absolutely correct. Any assessment could have a Link code. A diagnosis or chief complaint could be mapped to SNOMED. So in those cases, that coding is already addressed via the certification program.
But it's not. It's in the guidance, but it's not actually tested for in the certification.
Yeah, and we are recommending that's right. So again, we are recommending.
And that's where we need that. Yeah. The certification program effectively has a recommendation from ONC that there needs to be a reopening of the process that go a little deeper.
Yeah.
Because as we found out in COVID times, we didn't get what we thought we were going to get.
Yeah, yeah. Liz, we should wordsmith this one. We recommend that ONC coordinate rather than in coordination.
Because the problem here, Aaron, is that while the EHR system or the lab bench may be sending the Low-Inc or the SNOMED code.
Yep.
The difficulty is that once it's in the field, it's often deployed in such a way that providers are not using Low-Inc or SNOMED codes natively, or they're not getting converted to Low-Inc yeah. or SNOMED codes on the send out, which means public
that's
health.
That's right. So two issues that I want to be clear about. One is with respect to lab transmission, we have a subset of labs that are not using Low-Inc or SNOMED for encoding of lab data. And so data comes in coded to proprietary codes and is not available for trigger conditions. In the report, the incentives or the certification program for CLIA labs, CLIA and non-CLIA labs, and the ability to address the full chain from order to result to transmission to public health labs is the lever that we're including here. The second issue that's mentioned, which is that it may be the case that an EHR is certified to be able to collect, for example, a problem list via SNOMED, but physicians use other terminology in practice is addressed through the real world testing provisions in these recommendations. And anyway, let's go. So I'm trying to land the plane here. So I think we agree here. Okay, let's go to the next section. Which is something that Jillian had some concerns about. The intent here is that not only is the EHR certified to be able, not as the not not only is the certified health IT technology, the certified health IT certified to be able to update value sets, but that value sets are in fact updated on a timely basis. And so the specific recommendation here is that we recommend that ONC create operating rules inclusive service level agreements for timely updating of such value sets. Jillian, you had a concern about this one?
Yeah, I don't think that ONC, I don't think we can recommend anything around SLAs because those are done in coordination at the STLT, no?
So the intent here was that we should have baseline expectations of what timely updating of value sets looks like, and that real world testing should be able to address timely updates. I am more than willing to accept or look at friendly amendments to make that point better. And if we disagree about that basic point, then we should strike it. But the intent is there should be a floor level of
I agree
timely updating.
I think it's the language around SLA that I'm having issue with.
Okay, create operating rules. We can strike inclusive of SLAs.
Steve, do you have language?
I don't have language. The concern about standardized operating rules, in part, they need to be influenced by public health. Is that changing things like trigger codes impact things like case counts? So from a timing perspective, it becomes critical on the public health side that there be an identification of timing. Another concern is that there are different security protocols that are in place, looking at automatic updating, that an automatic update
yeah.
would probably drive our security folks.
Yeah, we're not talking about automatic at this point. Right, so I think we already struck automatic, and we're just talking about timely.
But it comes down to looking at the build of the operating rule, who's building it, if you wrote that into it on the back side, you've reintroduced the problem without public health sitting at the table to design those operating rules.
Okay. So let's just note in conjunction with relevant partners, including public health authorities and their partner organizations.
I would suggest that public health should develop.
No. No, because these operating rules are inclusive, not just of public health concerns, but also provider organization concerns, right? So value sets are not used solely for the purposes of public health authorities. They're also used for clinicians performing clinical practice. So public health
organization. And now I'm going to say that's out of scope. That's out of scope, Arian. This is a public health data systems task.
No, I understand. Right. So, but okay, I got that. I understand. But if we say that public health authorities are the only relevant parties for operating rules for updating of value sets, then
they're certainly relevant for updating the operating rules for updating data sets relevant to public health.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, why don't we put in like a caveat to say like appropriate?
Yeah. So all I'm saying is that in conjunction with relevant partners, including public health authorities and their partner organizations, create operating rules, and then we strike inclusive of service level agreements for timely updating of such value sets.
Supporting public health reporting, because I want that to be a key piece in it as well, because public health is not helpful.
That's fine. Yep. Okay. Perfect. Yeah, it should be in support of public health or supporting public health, but not in supporting public health. Sorry, Liz, it's frustrating to edit in real time. Perfect. Okay, cool.
Do we need this now? Oh, no, that's incentives. Never mind.
Yep. Okay.
All right, so this one I was having trouble understanding what we were trying to actually say here. If you could scroll up a little bit more.
Yeah, so this is the point that we have jurisdictional variance in terms of optional data. So in terms of data that is transmitted, and it would be desirable that the implementation guidance that we use is able to be used across multiple jurisdictions. So as an example, we have specific examples, for example, for immunization reporting, where ERA noted that different jurisdictional rules for consent and for inventory handling caused local customization of the immunization standards to address jurisdictional requirements. As we update implementation guidance, it would be good to make sure that we've updated predictable variation jurisdiction by jurisdiction.
Okay.
Again, this just need that there's a floor that works out of the box.
And how do we tie that back to certification?
This one is a recommendation that ONC coordinate to update and align relevant HL7, blah, 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 and other guidance to map to USCDI. And then as part of the alliance, we recommend that ONC work with public health authorities to ensure that standards implementation guidance address predictable policy based blah, 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 blah. And so presumably, I think you're calling out, presumably we would then update certification criteria or update SVAP-based certification criteria to include those changes.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you for that. I think that's a valuable addition.
Yep.
And a concern I have about SVAP, I think we touched on it later, is that upgrading to SVAP event, or vendors updating to an SVAP protocol that's not backwards compatible can break certification if SVAP technologies don't have to be certified before they're deployed.
Yeah, so the way that SVAP works or theoretically works is that you certify to the floor and then optionally certify above that. And yes, completely agree that SVAP needs to be backwards compatible. All right.
And certified.
Yeah.
And that's interesting.
Earlier, this recommendation has race, ethnicity, and preferred language specifically expanded out under
second SOGI. Paragraph.
And I worry that SOGI SDOH is not necessarily going to call out the need for a more granular race,
second
ethnicity,
paragraph.
And
second paragraph.
All right. My public health seeks policies that are okay.
Cool. Okay, minor edits for public health authorities and their partner organizations. Okay. Jillian, so this one came from Joe Gibson.
Yeah, this
recommending deleting it.
We're trying to, so just there will be a very distinct data flows, and I think there's still some discussion about how, if there's redundancy there.
Oh, this one. Got it. So, okay, cool. this one came then, okay. Let me just orient correctly. This is Hans's. And this is, we should align over time implementation guidance to make sure that where data needs to be integrated, that we actually are modeling data the same way. So that where we want to, as an example, incorporate electronic labs and then integrate with ECR, we should be making sure that the data requirements for those two things are aligned.
Can you comment on my suggested addition and replacement language?
Sorry. I'm struggling with the interface, the user interface here. We recommend the data elements needed to support the current and future F criteria should be included in adopted versions of US core data for interoperability to ensure,
I'm more comfortable with that language than the previous one. Versus the data will be integrated between lab case and immunization flow to support. Like the integration is done on the public health side.
Yep.
I have is the reference to USCDI, because here the intent was to focus.
It's not US core data, it's USCDI. That's right. US core data is sort of legacy.
Okay, please edit. Yeah.
No, US core data for interoperability is USCDI. Thank you. Sorry. Okay, I think that's right. Hans?
Yeah, I'm just comparing what the thing that Jillian is suggesting to drop, that's not, that I'm trying to figure out where that goes.
I think Jillian's point is that we should not be presuming or recommending data integration by public health authorities. We should be focused on the interoperability requirements to make sure that the data are integrable. I think that's saying the same thing.
Not quite, because USCDI would not be able to address part of what it's trying to address. So I understand if you're saying is that the recommendation should not go into the public health architecture of their HIT and how they share it. Yet at the same point in time, optimization on the provider side, sending the data would benefit from aligning in two ways. One is that data definitions are consistent, and USCDI can help in part, but USCDI is currently not addressing everything that's in this standard. So we still have to look at the standards itself, that there's consistency of the data being used in either one. Wherever they're used, it's the same data, if it's meant to be the same data. The other part is the optimization of the flows from a provider perspective, is that there is relevancy to that because data is flowing in unoptimal ways at this point in time. And we need to figure out how we can better balance that without judging exactly on which side what needs to be done. That's fair in this, but it's still an area to look at because the current flows are not optimal.
So I agree with everything that you've said. I just don't want there to be anything that suggests that there are this redundancy. I'm just uncomfortable with that last sentence. That specifically, data will be integrated between lab.
Yeah, just strike that last sentence.
If you strike that,
That's just, that was just for purposes of example.
Yeah. So the part before, I'm not seeing necessarily that it requires and imposes on public health to align their data structures for et cetera, which
is, and it also does not, it does not imply that data are redundant.
Can you keep on going to the others and see whether we can
yeah, let's keep going.
Wording.
Can we agree that this wording is good enough right now with that language stricken?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay, cool. Let's keep moving. Okay, I don't think there's any. So this was just reflecting previous commentary. Capitalize, we recommend eventual certification program. Noting that certification criteria for TEF query includes both public health ability to generate and receive data, as well as potential respondents' ability to process and respond to the query. More targeted and nuanced FHIR-based requirements that don't. Yeah. Okay. This one. Oh, so this is the one that Jillian, you recommend deleting. This was the one that was from Joe.
Yeah, I think this is highly aspirational. As like, well, you could read the comment there. That's my concern. Is
I have no strong feelings about this. I know that Joe felt strongly. He's not on the call. Anybody else feel strongly about this one to argue for keeping it?
Joe's here. I'll get him to do star six, and you lost four of your number, Joe.
Can you hear me now?
Gotcha.
I need to tell them the last.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Is that Joe? Bryant?
Joe, what's your last four digits of your cell phone number?
Are they trying to get Joe on the line? Is that it?
2071. If you can promote the phone ending in.
Here, you can just talk to me.
Go ahead, Joe. You're on the live, the lab.
All right. I'm trying to catch up. I don't see what this is yet.
It may not pick up because of my headphones.
Okay, so yeah, Joe, if you're able to talk, we've got this recommendation that originally came from you, which is about transmission of data between public health authorities, themselves. So, you know, between states, for example, or between counties of a state, and in between public health authorities and other actors, inclusive schools. So we have heretofore addressed recommendations that are specific to the F criteria between EHRs and public health authorities. This was a recommendation that ONC coordinate with public authorities and the partner organizations, SDOs, and other stakeholders to develop and test standards that address inter public health authority transmission of data, as well as public health authority transmission of data and non-EHR actors. And so I think Jillian's point is this is sort of aspirational, out of scope, and potentially could derail things. And I think you were the one who felt very strongly about this.
Yeah, if we're going to move data from public health, I believe it's going to involve moving some of that data within public health agencies.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear Joe.
Here, Joe, use some of my earwax.
All right,
I gave Joe one of my headsets.
All right, we'll see if this works. If we're going to transfer for data among from health agencies, are we going to get data from health care public health agencies?
some of that data is going to go between public health agencies. It's not all going to go from healthcare out to every public health agency. Yeah.
I think between public health agencies,
we're getting a mess back off. Hey,
but I'm nervous that adding schools as an example makes it hard for us to regulate.
Okay, we can do two things here. We're an hour in. We got to close this document.
So did you hear?
I did hear the point. So we've got
okay.
We've got
two potential proposals. We can take out schools, and he'd be okay with it.
Okay, Jillian, would you be okay
with us? Would that make it less aspirational?
Whacking other actors, whacking the whole last paragraph, as well as between public health authorities and other actors.
I think that's vaguer. That's fun.
Okay. Cool. Let it be done. Let it be whacked. We're missing a period now. It's all right. Cool. Thank you. All right, let's move. Okay, so we want to work with public health authorities and their partners to explore how TEFCA consent practices might be leveraged to enable sharing across jurisdictions. So this was maybe more specific, I think Jillian recommended, rather than establish a privacy consent mechanism, look at the TEFCA consent practices. Objections. Let's move on. So Jillian, you had a concern here about that we're really talking about law and regulation. So this is Hans's point about where there's policy variation, it'd be useful to start to file it down by establishing best practices.
I'm trying to read through this.
Yeah. So my sentence was, without limiting the ability for public health authorities to develop and enforce local policy, we note that where equivalent alternative approaches achieve the same policy outcome, it's helpful to establish policy uniformity. Again, this could be a little bit of a trap.
Yeah, I mean, what is ONC going to do? Work with every state legislature?
it's just creating friction at times where it would be helpful that there isn't.
I agree.
While still recognizing the need and the right to have individual policies, but where we can encourage alignment out of that collaboration would be great. And I agree, it would not just be ONC. It would be working with whomever, CDC, ONC, appropriate parties, all the states, all the stilts, everybody to, is there a way?
Yeah, but it's not, Hans, but unfortunately it's not the stilt health authorities that you'd need to work with. You'd have to hire lobbyists in every single local Congress and Senate and to change rules and regulations and, that's a changing constitutions of states is not going to happen overnight.
We're hard pressed for time. So whack it.
Crap. Sorry. If this goes back to that Kansky's comment about trying to have guidance on policy best practices.
Yeah, maybe we're it was not, Kansky.
What's that?
Maybe it was that damn Kansky guy. Yeah.
Yeah. See, so I we're not trying to imply that you need to work with every public health authority. We're trying to imply that to the extent possible, ONC do something to help public health authorities understand that there are either best practices or policy barriers to avoid in their state in general.
And there are probably two levels. Is that the policy level awareness otherwise, and there is at the implementation of policies, that even though policies are the same, similar enough, that standards are being implemented differently. So I think there's two layers that sit in here, that wherever possible, we need to find ways to minimize that.
Two paths at this point. Number one is we can delete it and move on. Number two is we can keep it and move on.
I'm on team keep, but I may be outnumbered.
I would join you, John, but we still might be outnumbered.
Well, team keep is the one speaking up, so we win.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
Oh, that's fair. We're running into it frequently. So.
Yeah. Let's keep going.
Arian, I would note it as a issue that we could not resolve in the report. Again, acknowledge that it's a potential, but not resolved.
No clear recommendation for it, but.
Correct.
Okay.
That's reasonable.
Cool. Let's do it.
Or I would argue we could make the recommendation. We just need to be realistic that
right.
It will take 10 years for it to change. It's not going to, I don't want it to make our committee seem unsuccessful.
Yep. Got it.
I prefer it as an idea.
Because we recommended the impossible.
Right. I prefer it as an idea to be acknowledged, but requires
not,
more.
Not a recommendation. Yeah.
And 10 years still might be before my retirement.
That's right. Good. Let us keep going. Now we're up to the actual F criteria. Okay, let's keep going. I think we're okay here. We didn't make any changes. Syndromic surveillance. Again, mostly just edits for clarity. This comes from the previous HITAC recommendations. I think somebody noted this was again from the previous HITAC language that laboratories are not an actor that submits syndromic surveillance.
I think there may be a newly updated draft of the syndromic surveillance implementation guide, but it's not drafted.
It's published SU.
Yeah.
Weren't there some unresolved comments that we were waiting?
That's just part of the SU process.
Okay. We could make a recommendation that ONC work with CDC to make sure that it keeps maintained, that comments are resolved in a timely manner.
That's too detailed.
It's a coordination job.
Yeah, no, I know, but like we recommend that ONC work with CDC to resolve comments is you know that's one level detailed in terms of recommendations.
Well, it's not resolving comments, it's pushing to get them resolved.
Yeah.
Or maintain standard reference. Since they have a life cycle.
So we recommend that ONC coordinate adoption.
And maintain.
So not here, Liz. I think what we're doing is we recommend that ONC phase out and replace the reference to the current to the version of the syndromic surveillance standard, including the CURES Final Act, and coordinate publication of the latest, of the most current version. Period. Most current version during the next relevant regulatory update.
Yeah, I think somebody said maintenance.
Yeah. Publication and maintenance. Cool. So maybe Liz, publication and maintenance, and then strike that last sentence, the sentence after the sentence.
Yeah, I think that the challenge here is that HL7 relies on folks contributing actively to the maintenance. And when the CDC dissolved ISDS, there isn't a body of academic and technical workforce that is evolving that standard. It died with the funding cut.
Cool. So why don't we strike laboratories? Because laboratories I think the comment is not relevant for. Okay, done. Move on. All right. Lots of deletion here. So we need to basically, Liz, just note we need to reorder. Where are we now?
I just moved over to the rewording that Hans and Joe did.
Oh, I thought we were at ELR at that point. Is this ECR? This is ECR. Got it. Cool.
Yeah, we just moved. Thank you. Sorry. ELR. But this is the rewording from here.
Okay. I took this. Got it.
So here's that.
So sorry. This is detail focus. This is the transition. This is on the transition from ELR only to ELR plus ECR. And this was edits to my upfront language and recommendations. So in the current state, when ECR is in its current early stages of adoption, ELR has to carry additional information to make available to case investigate. Okay. However, capturing this information on order or at the performing laboratory may require updates to legacy systems and is burdensome. As ECR becomes more broadly deployed, much of the additional data needed for public health is more appropriately captured during a clinical encounter, better communicated through electronic case reporting. ELR data should be focused on the data set required for interpretation of the result, as well as for contextual, demographic, and contact information required for patient matching and jurisdictional assignment follow-up. Therefore, we recommend that ONC support and coordinate with public authorities and partner organizations, CDC, standards development organizations, to continue to delineate laboratory-based reporting from electronic case reporting. In context where ECR is widely available, the ordering provider will often be the most appropriate to submit contextual data. Where laboratories perform walk-in testing, they play the role of ordering provider and thus should use electronic case reporting for observations collected at the point of collection. That's our recommendation. Objections? let us carry it forward.
Yeah, I don't object. I just want us to realize that, you know, a lot of drive-through testing facilities were operated by public health agencies that, you know, we don't have the tools in place to do ECR from a drive-through or pop-up lab testing environment. So it may continue to need to be ELR.
Noted.
Okay, move. Let's keep going.
Or unfortunately, red cap and flat files.
Okay. We recommend that ONC adopt certification criteria. So now we're at ELR. Did we move off of ECR? Oh, that.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Thank you, Liz. I'm now situated appropriately. We want to make sure that we start with the certification program for ELR, and then we insert that consensus language below these foundational requirements. Cool. Now we're talking about updating or creating a certification criteria for public health technology for ELR. These are the foundational requirements that we previously mentioned, where we're proposing certifying all of the actors, inclusive of public health technology, EHRs, and laboratories, as well as normalizing at source. All right. I think we're okay, Hans, in terms of STU3.
There is actually STU4 just okay. Published.
Yeah, STU4. Target is STU4. I think we're okay.
Okay.
Baseline STU3, target STU4. Okay.
And did we
should work? We Should we comment that it will continue to advance as the standards advance? I mean, the target is keeping up, right?
Yeah, I mean, I am, as much as people want to get into the SFAP conversation, it does not feel like, it feels like we don't have enough time to craft finely honed SFAP language.
Other than perhaps an overarching statement that you just have to be careful.
Yeah. If somebody has good overarching language they want to propose via chat right now, I think we can consider it. Otherwise, we're going to have to punt.
The only other part that came up, we can leave that perhaps out, but that is that the guides were written, the more current ones were written, that acknowledging that systems are supporting all the versions of the standards, but they need to add new things to it because of pandemic, otherwise, et cetera, is that you can't, they have been written that you can modular accept pieces of the new guide to ease the path. I'm not sure whether we want to get that granular, but we need
We have half an hour.
Yeah. That's what the comment is.
Yeah, we have half an hour, and that at that point we have zero time. We're done. If we didn't resolve something, we delete it. And if we don't like that we deleted it, then that's, we should get to it. Let's keep going. Okay.
Don't we still have Wednesday on the book that we could?
We can, but what we're doing at that point
is we're explicit little quick all agreed upon insertion.
Yeah, well, the reason we wanted to move it to Monday is that we're not giving the high tech the ability to read.
Understood.
Yep.
All right. Understood. But if we have that for things that need just a touch more clarification, they could have the near penultimate draft, and then with an understanding that they're
on the fly,
red line, a couple of additional insertions the day before their meeting.
Sure. It would just be good for us to get through all of this language in the next half hour.
We'll keep going.
Okay.
I'm not suggesting we do it now.
Yep. So again, here, just to be clear, we are making recommendations. We've already reviewed this text. This is all just edits. We're making recommendations for certification criteria for public health authority or public health technology used by public health authorities, EHRs, and labs, inclusive of order, result, and ELR. And each of these notes, the terminology sets, it's inclusive of LOINC and SNOMED, and this we're also incorporating our previous recommendations that we include the ability to update terminology. All right.
To clarify, includes LRI and ELR.
LRI, LOI, and LRI also includes ELR.
Just clarifying.
Yep. So we're doing ELR using the LOI or see the LRI standard. Okay. All right. We added a recommendation for web entry system. Certification criteria sufficiently flexible to certify such electronic results capturing systems. We recommend certifying LIMS for LOI, LOI and LRI.
We're trying to unmute Aaron. There, you're on.
Hi. Regarding labs, sorry, did I understand you, Arian, correctly that we were having the floor was going to be LRI and not the ELR?
Nope.
Implementation guide? Okay, no. Target
baseline
was
is ELR, target is LRI.
LRI, okay, thank you.
Which is inclusive, but again, I think the question was, is LRI inclusive of ELR? And the answer is yes. The LRI guide includes both reporting of labs from lab to the ordering provider, as well as reporting the labs to public health in the target state. Okay, we're done with labs. All right, transmission to cancer registries. Our recommendations are to maintain the reference and recommend that ONC collaborate with public health authorities receiving cancer data, public health professional organizations, CDC, NACCR, and other stakeholders regarding future updated standards for the exchange of cancer-related information We note that many advanced organizations report using PCORI or OMOP-based reference data models, and that foundational work, not works, that's my typo, is being performed via MedMorph. Okay, that's cancer.
So I still think that there's a, you know, we heard from a couple of academic cancer research institutions in the testimony, but I think that when we heard from the cancer registry, there are hurdles and barriers to them certifying their system. Many of which are, you know, a CDC provided system that doesn't do what it needs to be able to do to receive true interoperability. And those systems were, you know, those state agencies were all flat funded or funding cuts as a result of pandemic. Are we really going to be able to see this F4 criteria evolve?
And the difficulty is not so much on the receiving end. The difficulty seems to be in a way that many of the vendors had developed the supporting technology, or the messaging in the IG was not generating expected results from provider systems. The data was in the provider systems, it just wasn't being extracted in the expected way, looking at the certified technology. And it's unclear, I think, even at this point, exactly where those stumbling blocks occurred and what there was not a singular resolution.
My understanding is that the root of the issue is that we had modular certification, but we actually had much of that being optional. And so not many people actually certified to the cancer registry standard. And so we don't even have a fair test as to whether the F criteria addresses interoperability for cancer registries.
Well, where it was implemented in the early days of PI, providers had the technology as certified, but it was not generating expected or useful results from
the question is, do we have recommendations at this point that address that problem?
I think the closest you could do is look at potentially MedMorph.
Right, which we're referencing.
But I would be hesitant to look at the F criterion in that space coming out of the certified technology, using what is the currently certified technology on the.
So you'd want to strike the first paragraph, maintain the reference?
I think so.
Objections?
Hold on 1 second. So you're saying.
Right now we're saying we're maintain the reference and work with yada, yada, yada to create future updated standards for the exchange of cancer related information with reference to OMOP.
I would think you would want to do in there is work with NACER, public health, academic institutions, and providers to reevaluate cancer reporting and related standards.
Yeah, and we just in the ONC report that was just provided today, they identified that there were a large number of providers that cited the extra cost, the cancer module, although it existed, cost extra. They could add the ELR, syndromic, and immunization for free, but they had to pay extra if they wanted to do cancer, and they wouldn't do it.
Yeah, so we can't, just to be clear, we can't address that via certification requirements. So the question is, do we maintain the current cancer registry implementation guide or make recommendations to maintain?
Well, I would argue that ONC, as part of the 21st Century Cures Act, is that there cannot be not the Cures Act itself, but the information blocking provision within it, that having an additional cost for a public health reporting module is a an unacceptable fiscal barrier, and that those should be eliminated from all provider, all EHR vendors that say they have a certified system. They need to take away those.
Yeah, this would not be a point I would argue with, but it is, from a certification perspective, is running afield of where we're making recommendations.
I think the safer place is to look at recommending a revisit of the criterion.
Yeah, which we're doing. So the question is, do we strike the first paragraph or do we maintain the first paragraph? Acknowledging that we make recommendations in the second paragraph for making updates.
I think we eliminate the current reference.
Okay, strike the first paragraph.
Yeah.
Any objections? So stricken. Next.
I'm looking at the second paragraph. We're going to collaborate with public health agencies receiving. And do we have enough stakeholders? Do we have providers in there as well?
Yeah. Well, we should include provider organizations. Cool. ECR. I think we have reportability response. I think all this stuff is addressed. It's an ordering problem. Yeah, here we go. No. Okay.
That comment was left from before last week, so I removed it.
Yeah, here we go. Standard report. Yeah, good. So if you go up, sorry, Liz, go up. I think we need to strike that standardized expectations for EHR-related receivers of RR because we've got it right below. And let's bold, we recommend, just to be consistent. Cool. So just to repeat, we are making recommendations that ONC modify the existing certification criteria for case reporting to require certification to ECR and establish associated test methods. Where we're recommending initial case report, EICR, and response, send transmit of EICR, receive reportability responses. This is for EHRs, for provider organizations. Next recommendation. We recommend that ONC adopt a certification program for public health technologies, should be technologies. I missed this one. Technology, yeah, cool. To receive electronic case reports and send reportability responses for reporting and reportable conditions with syntax and semantic criteria defined below. Boom.
Ariane, I think we need to go back. It's not the public health authorities that would be sending the reportability response, but the APHL, AIMS.
This is public health technology.
Public health authority.
No one's nothing here says anything about public health authorities. Oh, is it above?
It just refers to technology. Okay.
Yep. All right. Did we miss recommendations for F6 and F7? What was F6 and F7?
Oh, no, they got moved.
We got yes. Everything. Cool.
Are we done? We have two more in F5 that we didn't touch last week, and then F6 and F7, and F7 has nothing.
Can you go back up, though? There's one. I think there's a public health authority. Scroll back up, please. Where was, okay. All right, that's all fine. Next, 7 was, you're saying it's higher? I thought this was the beginning. This is the beginning of EHRs, no?
No, it's one more. There's recommendation 2 here in F5. Okay. And above, recommendation 5. So the first one. Good.
Okay.
Okay. Liz, take us home.
All right. These are now the ones that we didn't touch on last week at all.
Okay.
So we are on F5, where we have two more in F5, two in F6, and nothing in F7. Last are if you wanted to review those that got pulled for deletion.
I don't think we have time to review those.
Right.
if you didn't review it and object, then it's gone. Okay. So this is about certification for standard adoption of fire distribution of trigger codes. Yes. Okay. So this is going to go in the ECR section. Should we not say fire standard adoption of distribution to trigger codes? We tend not to name specific technologies. Standard adoption of distribution of trigger codes to EHRs following the implementation guide. Liz, did you get that?
Yeah.
So we recommend capital recommend or bold recommend. Sorry, Liz. And then strike of fire. So just say standard adoption of distribution of trigger codes. Sorry, don't strike of, just fire. Boom, perfect. Standard adoption of distribution of trigger codes to EHRs following the HL7 Fire Implementation Guide Electronic Case Reporting V1.0.0 STU1.
And this was a question that came up.
Just take it.
Yeah,
it has to be published. You can add to it or then most current.
Yes, agree. Otherwise, this becomes quickly stale.
Yep. Specifically, direct electronic consumption of the ESRD for trigger code implementation and emergent routine cases should be included in certification. And again, the point here is ECR is fantastic infrastructure, but it's worth nothing if you can't update trigger codes. That's a little extreme, but it is limited in use if you can't update trigger codes to respond to emergencies. Cool. Next one is about the public health.
You need a bold or recommend it there.
Bold or recommend. And I think we want a certification program of public health technology or relevant to. We want to strike system, to strike the whole word. Okay.
I notice here that it's very similar to what we just talked about, but that we did not mention the knowledge around the content. So for the trigger events, one thing to communicate trigger events, the other part is that what content for what trigger events. And we did not here nor anywhere else. That might be too late, but just as a note.
I think the content side, so I think the issue that we heard on the content side was relative to value sets. And I think we've already addressed updating value sets. I think we've already addressed for LOINC and SNOMED reportable labs, addressing that information at source. Is there more information that we're missing?
Potentially, because then it's not only the value sets for those codes, but it would be, as an example, for this particular trigger event, do I need the last 10 days worth of lab code, lab results, or the last 3 months, or what is it?
We don't have recommendations. Sounds like a good concern. We don't have recommendations at this point. We're not going to create them in the next.
That's fine. Minutes. Just that we're short in.
Okay. Cool.
Okay.
That's ECR F6. All we did here was pull in the previous high-tech recommendations. Yep.
I think that should be, hold on. ONC collaborates with CDC and public health authorities to, instead of NHSN.
Yes, right, below. No, that's okay. Collaborates with CDC and public health authorities and their partner organizations. Yep. And then just strike the, rather than seems premature, we'll say is premature. Done. This one seems out of place. I think we addressed this one. This was our recommendation on. Our target is to reduce or eliminate paper-based reporting. So I think we're good. Healthcare surveys we just addressed.
Yeah, no current recommendations or for.
It wasn't the one we just above healthcare surveys.
NHSN and HAI.
Yep.
Yeah. There was a comment that I had in there. Part of the data that goes from hospitals to CDC for the antimicrobial resistance, CDC is not sharing back with the states. Should we make a recommendation that information be bi-directional and shared with the underlying jurisdictional authorities?
Where would you want it to go?
Under six, I'm trying to see where my comment was.
We recommend
that bi-directional NHSN reporting in that last sentence.
Good.
Before under such alignment.
That can be used both for certification and bi-directional.
This is again, this is another one of those in the implementation guide. There are optional data elements that are allowed.
Yep.
Washington State asks hospitals to send them. CDC collects them, but then only shares the required ones back to us.
Well, that
they didn't implement, their system didn't implement a way to share the optional.
Again, I think we're consistent in making recommendations that are certification criteria test for optional elements.
But it's not CDC. CDC isn't going to see that section above in the overarching as applicable to NHSN.
Can we just copy and paste that language and bring it down there from above?
And bidirectional, let's just say bidirectional NSHN reporting inclusive of optional values.
That's good.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay.
It's only been 10 years we've been asking for it.
No doubt. Yeah. We got through everything, Liz?
Yep.
Ship it.
Sure.
Arian, this is Stephen. I did throw in a suggested friendly amendment in the chat back at 40 minutes after the hour.
Oh, good. Thank you. I got to go find where my chat interface is. Where is my chat?
Okay. So I sent it to everyone. So
yeah, I know. I understand.
Anyone should be able to find it.
Show chat. There we go. Boom.
Up at 8:40 our time.
I have no objections to this.
Where should this go?
The first part is on page 4, and the second part is under recommendation 1, as noted.
Okay.
I just think it makes it clearer what we mean by modular.
Point of question. We refer the language references just EHR certification. Isn't this supposed to be broader than that?
That's what I'm trying to clarify. We keep saying modular as if it's self-evident what that means and what the modules would be.
For the term modular certification, we mean to write a certified to be able to certify a single criterion or multiple criteria aligned with the current certification program.
Right. EHR certification program.
It's not just EHR, because I think we're
Health IT. Okay. EHRs.
That was my point, yes.
The other part, the other way to describe it is that modular certification is where one or more dependent interoperability capabilities are part of a certification criteria, so that it's not many independent ones under one criteria. It's they're really, really dependent. They could not work unless they're together. And even then, it's and that it could be split across HIT. So it gets a complicated definition.
And valuable.
Yeah, but it's the combination of they have to be very dependent, but even if they're dependent, if they can be split across HIT, you should not have them as one criterion.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, one thing that you said just in passing a moment ago was current. I think we also want to say, hey, what we should aim at what is the latest up to date, whether it's
SFAP, current inclusive of SFAP.
And maintained in the future. So it's not
That's right.
Yeah, the way I phrase that is and evolve in coordination with now other health IT certification programs.
Yeah, and in the sentence that's highlighted with an isolated aspect of criterion or criteria, I could see part of the problem challenge is that an isolated aspect of a criteria, plural, is where it could be split across multiple HITs. So they are related, but they can be done across different IT. Not all the HIT needs to support all of them, but in combination, they need to be there.
Aaron?
That's the complicated part.
Yeah, as we've been having this discussion, I want to make sure that whether it's on our side or the public health side or another side in sending the data, that there is the ability to use more than one technology solution in the meeting that certification criteria, not a singular technology solution.
Yeah, and on the EHR certification side is where you have two responsibilities in a way. It's that the developer that develops the capability, and where it's split across multiple HIT, it's the provider to make sure that all the different HIT, whether it's one or more that can satisfy it, but that they have the combination of HIT can support the combination of criteria that are relevant to them. So it's a two-part responsibility and they need to fit.
So when I'm saying multiple technologies, I'm not necessarily making a distinction between like types of surveillance systems or vendor supplied surveillance systems, but in the additional tools that we might use above and beyond those surveillance systems to be able to meet those criteria, like an EDI engine, for example.
And not a singular EDI engine, whether it be, you know, there may be multiple vendors supplying, and ideally
again, I remind everybody that in our overarching, we make recommendations that the certification program should provide paths for certification of technology, inclusive of self-certification.
Would the word solution be a better option rather than product?
Technology.
Yeah. Or a parens S behind the product or products.
No, we've consistently used public health technology,
and we divide it above. All the way up at the top, do we want to include from multiple vendors or supporting multiple vendors all the way at the top. In other words, the program should be available to multiple vendors, not just a singular.
Where?
All the way up at the top when we're talking about the definition of the certified technologies in the first place, but looking at it, for, you know, in the idea of multiple entities, you know, public health can pick how it wants to implement it, but can also potentially pick from multiple vendors. In other words, it's a certification program like the
EH. Yeah, modular, we could put, should be modular, parenthesis, independent of vendor.
But modular and encourage participation for multiple vendors or support participation for multiple vendors. So that again, it's not looking at, oh.
I think we're good.
And Harry and I just dropped into for the end, final paragraph where the term modular crutch certification, I made a couple of tweaks to that in the chat.
I would still request that we include concept.
Yeah. We have 5 minutes. We got to go to public comment. And
okay, I just don't want to lose the alignment with existing health IT certification programs. I think it's really important that we capture that.
Yeah, we also need to recognize that current certification program is challenged at times to have the right granularity of criteria.
Yeah. So here's what I propose. We'll take the chat. We'll draft some language. We'll send it out via email today. We'll either get agreement on that language or not agreement on that language, and proceed with the edit. But we got to close it out today so we can finalize and publish to the full HITECH. The world will not end if this language is not perfectly precise. Our wordsmithing here is very unlikely to radically change and reconfigure ONC policy. But it would be good to get the language right.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to public comment.
All right, everyone, we're going to open up our call for any public comments. If you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you're on the phone only, press star 9 to raise your hand, and once called upon, press star 6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause just for a moment to see if anyone raises their hand. Not seeing hands raised, so I'll turn it back to Arian and Jillian.
All right. Y'all, this has been a journey. I just want to remind everybody that I know that ONC and CDC, I know ONC in particular, and that I believe that also CDC is anxiously awaiting the approval of these recommendations through the full HITECH, that the work that we did is going to radically improve the nation's ability to respond to future public health crises. We all can remember our time on this task force as being foundational for an improved and more resilient public health system informed by interoperable data. We'll make sure that the final draft that we're proposing is sent out to the full task force. I think we can go back and forth via email as long as we can get to some level of consensus for fine scale edits. Please tune in for the HITECH meeting where we'll present the net effect of all this work to the HITECH and overwhelm them with the brilliance and sophistication of our requirements or our recommendations. So please feel free to attend and cheer us on. I thank everybody for their effort and active engagement. This was a highly engaged task force. I know it was frustrating at times as we were trying to steer toward the home stretch, but I do feel like we got to a highly impactful recommendations.
I would just like to thank everybody as well, and to just add that one of my main goals coming into this task force was to really develop some sensible recommendations that would ultimately reduce burden and to improve data quality and interoperability. And I think our recommendations would do so. So I just want to thank everybody for their very engaging participation and patience. And my apologies again for sort of finishing off with a bit of a, not so much of a bang, but COVID, you know, that's why it's one of the reasons.
It's all very on brand.
Yes.
Yeah. That our two co-chairs were both affected by COVID and one presumed affected by RSV. So very on brand for this work group.
My dog would like to second that. So
exactly. All right. Thank you, everybody. And again, thanks for all of our panelists as well in the past. And feel free, eagerly await in your email the proposed final draft. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.